Hey, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. I just never get tired of that, you know?
You must be used to that.
That should have been, like, my whole, like, my other career. That should have been my career, just, like, screaming, you know? According to everybody else, I scream very well anyway, so. Anyway.
Who would that be?
Basically, every significant other.
Oh, okay.
Been in my life, yeah. That's the, as we say in corporate America, that's the feedback I've received. You know, when we process things through advocacy and inquiry, and, you know. Anyway, that's the feedback, is that I'm a screamer.
Okay. I'm going home.
Never mind. All right, moving on. Let's do meeting announcements, shall we? Every month, the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society has three meetings, each taking place at different times in different places throughout the month. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end promptly at 8:30 p.m. You do not have to be a member to attend the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society monthly meeting. You can bring anyone you want, except ex-cons or current cons. We don't really like that too much. But anyway, the first meeting up at Bat will be March... No, I'm sorry. The first one up at Bat will be February 20th in Hackettstown. It's the one that I do. It's at 293 Main Street in the Community Center in the Blue Room. And again, like I said, the meeting starts at 7, ends at 8:30, and it's free and open to the public to attend. The one after that, February 22nd, at the Bogota Recreation Center, conveniently located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. That meeting is led by Laura Lindemann, team leader for the Northeast Division. And then after that, we have March 7th in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. That is the Central Jersey Division, headed up by Gregory and Sherry Irish for the Central Jersey team. And, wow. And then February 26th at 7 o'clock, I'll be at the Clark Public Library doing my presentation. I forgot to tell you, I did the one in Elizabeth.
Right.
At the Elizabeth Library, and gorgeous library. The problem was we couldn't get up to the fourth floor where the big room was that I was presenting. The elevator was locked, and they had to find a security person who could unlock it so it could go up. And I'm standing there with all these people, and now I'm late for my very own presentation. And these people are like, well, how come we can't get up to the fourth floor? Can't we get somebody to help? And I'm like, you know, they're like, we're going to miss the show. We're going to miss the show. And I looked at them. I said, well, I'm presenting, and I'm standing here, so you're not missing anything. So finally, you know, with the one woman who booked me came out, and she took me and the kids, and we had to go under one of those ropes because they had the stairwell blocked off. We had to go under the rope, up the stairs, have the security guard come to the fire door and, you know, deprogram the alarm to get us in so I could start setting up and do the presentation. But, and it went on, you know, the only problem was the opening thing, the other side of life. Their computer for some reason could not open that file. It would start opening it halfway and then just hang up, and you'd have the eternal hourglass. So bummer, people. I'm sorry you didn't get to see that. But we went into the presentation itself. That worked. They told me, they said it's probably Walter. They have a ghost Walter there who loves to screw up their technology. So,
well, how come they don't ask us to come do an investigation?
Oh well, they. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, the presentation, that's good enough. But it was fun. It was like 96 people.
Wow.
On a Saturday afternoon in Elizabeth that came for this. I mean, and they had a nice room, very state-of-the-art equipment.
Dollar ahead.
So anyway, I'll be doing the Clark Library on February 26th at 7 p.m. It's a Monday night. And for those of you who want to catch the premiere of the movie by Carl Petrie and John Arricchio, it's The Haunting of Danbury House. That premiere is set for Sunday, March 11th at 2 o'clock at Bloomfield College in the Van Fossen Theater, which is located on the corner of Fremont and Franklin Streets in Bloomfield. Interesting, huh?
Very.
Okay. Now we're going to start talking about some movies. Every time we find a movie that's kind of up the alley of a ghost hunter, paranormal, avid person, we'll tell you about it. Now, what's opening on February 9th? Well, the first one that's opening on February 9th is Hannibal Rising. I've seen posters for this. I haven't been to the movies in I don't know how long, so I haven't seen the coming attractions. But it says, in Red Dragon, we learned who he was. In Silence of the Lambs, we learned how he did it. Now comes the most chilling chapter in the life of Hannibal Lecter. The one that answers the most elusive question of all, why? Hannibal Rising marks the first time in the award-winning series best-selling author Thomas Harris, and in quotations it says Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, writes the screenplay, reaching back to explore the origins of Lecter's rage, terror, and savagery. The story begins in Eastern Europe at the desperate end of World War II. For many, it was no longer a conflict of nations, but one of individual survival, at any cost. A young Hannibal watches from only steps away as his parents violently die, leaving his cherished young sister in his care. This horrific moment will soon pale in comparison to the atrocities he is forced to witness and perhaps survive as a result of. Who the hell wrote this that it ended in a preposition? Okay, you can tell I didn't write it. All right. Alone and without any means of support, he is forced to live in a Soviet orphanage that once served as his family's beloved home. He flees to Paris to find his uncle has died, but his beautiful and mysterious Japanese widow, Lady Murasaki, which is played by Gong Li, welcomes him. Even her kindness and love cannot soothe the nightmares and sorrows that plague him. Showing a cunning aptitude for science, he is accepted into medical school, which serves to hone his skills and provide the tools to exact justice on the war criminals that haunt him day and night. This quest will ignite an insatiable lust within a serial killer who was not born, but made. Ooh. Eh. Not my cup of tea.
Mine either.
Yeah, I mean, I've never even seen Silence of the Lambs because the very idea of what it was about was enough to make me go, ew.
Well, I saw that, and I think it was, what was this? There was another one, like Silence of the Lambs 2 or something like that.
Yeah, there was a second one.
Yeah, then there was Red Dragon.
Oh, there was, oh, wow.
Yeah, there was three of them, yeah.
And what was Red Dragon? That was...
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh.
After the second one, I kind of got tired of it.
Oh, we learned who he was. Oh. Yeah, I don't... Not my deal.
Next.
Yeah, okay. Well, on February 14th, good old Valentine's Day, we have Ghost Rider. Woo-hoo. With Nicolas Cage. Of course, we all know I'm not a big fan of Nicolas because it's just something about him is irritating to me. To me. But, I'm, you know, there's a lot of people out there that absolutely adore him.
Kind of like Jensen Ackles, but that's okay.
Oh, no, he's not irritating. Jensen Ackles is completely... soothing on the eyes, and you know, my one friend, she told me she thought he was short, and I'm like, he's not short, he's a Texan, for God's sake. She goes, well, I know, but you know what, because he's always standing next to Jared, and I said, like, well, Jared's 6'4", she goes, I know that now, she goes, I looked up their heights, and she's like, you're just thinking Jensen's this little mini-mini, I'm like, no, he's not, he's a good guy, height, he's like 6'1", you know.
Well, at least I know why he died on Smallville.
Why?
Do Supernatural.
Oh, God, yeah. This was much better than doing that. You know?
Hey.
And he was cute on...
Hey,
he was cute on
Don't
Smallville.
Diss my shows now.
No, no. I mean, I, whenever I catch Smallville, it's intriguing. But, you know, I haven't really stuck with it. So, you know, if I turn it on, it's kind of like I'm like, wait a minute. What is she doing with him? I thought he was with her. And, you know. Anyway. So Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage opens on February 14th. Now, Brian and I had this little discussion this afternoon. That why the hell would you open a ghost movie on Valentine's Day, which is like the lover's day of the year, and you told me.
A date movie.
And see, and I'm just not making the connection with that. I mean, it's the lover's day of the year. Would you take the love of your life and someone you're going to woo and schmooze and sweep off her feet? And stick her in a dark theater with a bunch of smelly other people chomping on popcorn and watch some movie?
Well, if we go by what you're saying, we'll be the only ones in the theater.
I mean, you know, I would think the candlelight dinner and the
chocolates
and flowers.
Maybe you're doing it for the younger people who don't have a lot of money to go out and do all that. Did you ever think of that?
Well, for the price of a movie and popcorn and everything, you could take someone to a BYOB Italian restaurant and have a good plate
of
baked
ziti or beer parmesan. What about the ones that are under
18? Huh?
What about the ones under 18?
Then they can have the tartufo or something for dessert instead of the BYOB. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of us are not rich.
You don't have to be. I mean, seriously, if you go to a decent Italian, like usually like a good pizza joint that has the restaurant in the back, you can get a nice salad and a drink and an entree and a dessert for two people, $30, tip and everything. You know?
Okay.
I mean, when I was, you know, a kid in high school and working a part-time job, I paid for my entire trip to France for a week and a half and back. So I don't see where a $30 dinner would kill somebody, you know. Anyway, so Ghost Rider opens on February 14th. It stars Nicolas Cage. And here's the premise of this lovely little pick. In order to save his dying father, young stunt cyclist Johnny Blaze sells his soul to, help me out here, Mephistopheles.
Yep.
And sadly parts from the pure-hearted Roxanne Simpson, the love of his life. Oh, I get it. Is that the connection now? It's a love of his life issue thing, and that's why it's February 14th? Who knows? Years later, Johnny's path crosses again with Roxanne, now a go-getting reporter, and also with Mephistopheles. Mephistopheles. Gosh, that's a handle. Who offers to release Johnny's soul if Johnny becomes the fabled fiery ghost rider, a supernatural agent of vengeance and justice. Mephistopheles charges Johnny with defeating the despicable Blackheart, Mephistopheles' nemesis and son, wow, who plans to displace his father and create a new hell even more terrible than the old one.
I will be there.
Yeah? I might as well. What the hell am I going to be doing? So.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, God. Okay. All right. Well, so there you go. Those are your movies that are opening up for the upcoming week. And now we're going to go and tell you all about the new contest. This is your chance, people. If you want to go to Ghost World Conference and you don't want to pay the registration fee of $115, all you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations, and you can be as dramatic and creative as you want, because that's what we want. We don't want some humdrum, boring-ass read. We want something really creative. Bring life to it for our listeners. And you're not allowed to make up a ghost story, okay? You have to tell one that you sincerely experienced, or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. And don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person, because you being creative and dramatic is what's going to give you the winning edge and get you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2072, the deadline at njghs.net. And if the file, which is either a WAV or an MP3 format, is too large to email, burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to the deadline at P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the deadline page of the njghs.net website for voting. The voting will be your responsibility as a listener, and even if you submit, you can vote too. And you can vote from June 1st to the 15th, and the winner will be announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. The winner, obviously, is responsible for all their costs incurred to travel and lodge and have meals and so forth while at the conference, and they are responsible for their lodging costs of $119, which is the Ghost World Conference rate. We will have a room put aside, so if you win, it's not like, well, now you won and you don't have a place to stay. We're putting one room aside, but you do have to pay for it at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg. And even if you've already registered for the conference, you can enter this contest, because if you win, guess what? Your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified before. So get to it. Record your MP3 or WAV file and email it or snail mail it to the deadline. Again, all these details and rules and regulations will be posted on the NJGHS.net website on the deadline page. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society?
For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007 at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit will be close to 3,000 square feet of space where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost Hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
Okay, welcome back to the deadline. We're going to do our parashares. Yes, we have parashares today.
You're right.
Parashares come from this gentleman, John Weiss, who lives in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And let's see, he wrote The Happening. In October of 2006, I had a mold problem in my house, and since that time, I run a dehumidifier in my basement. I do not run it constantly since I do not want the house to be too dry. About 10 p.m. on January 6th, I went down into the basement, turned off the dehumidifier, and emptied the bucket. I turned off the dehumidifier and all the basement lights and went upstairs to work on my computer. At about 11:30 p.m., I heard a humming sound. I could have sworn that the dehumidifier was on. I turned on the garage lights. I turned on the light to the basement steps. I went into the basement and turned the basement lights on. Yes, the dehumidifier that I had turned off was running. I again turned off the dehumidifier, and as I went to turn off the basement lights, I noticed the light over the basement steps off. My first thought was the bulb had burned out. When I got to the top of the steps, I found that someone or something had turned off the light for the steps. My mother was sound asleep. I returned to my computer and soon felt a cold shiver down my spine. I got up and went back to the garage. Nothing was there. I shut down my computer, brushed my teeth, and went to bed. During the night, I had a dream about three children sleeping in a bed clothed only in their underpants. A girl about 4 or 5, a boy about 7 or 8, and a girl almost 12. In the dream, I said to a friend, "Shouldn't that kid wear a top? She's too old to be uncovered." His reply was, "Aw, she's just a kid, forget it." In the morning, my mother looked frightened. I asked her what the problem was. She described the children in my dream, and she said she had woke up during the night, and they were floating like fairies over the dining room table. My mother asked me who they were. In closing, I want to add, I felt a strange power or energy force in my home that evening. I can best describe it as a very cold draft. Only one person ever died in my house, and that was my father, and that was over 21 years ago. Huh. Now, you know what? He told me to go ahead and use the story, and he said, here's a postscript to the story. At about 1:30 p.m. this afternoon, this was on Sunday, I went down in the basement and turned on the dehumidifier. Around 9:30, I went down to turn it off, and somebody or something had beaten me to it. It did not turn off automatically. There was very little water in the bucket. I doubt I ran 2 hours. I got rid of the water in the bucket and turned the dehumidifier off. I'll let you know if my mystery friends turn it on during the night. Now, here's my suggestion, John. It's called hook up a little hose, like a PVC hose or a garden hose, to the bucket on the little spout of the dehumidifier, and run the other end of the hose into your sump pump, and then you just leave it at a normal setting, and it'll dehumidify the basement just the way you like it, and it'll drain the water automatically into the sump pump and go right out of the house, and then you're not running up and down the stairs turning the lights on and off, you know? I mean, it's that easy. Anyway.
Tips from Laura.
Yeah, the former homeowner. And here is the following story. Now, this also comes to us from John. About 2 weeks ago, I received a telephone call from a cousin who told me that my cousin, Alfred, had passed away. Aww. Alfred is actually a first cousin once removed. So what does that mean?
Second cousin?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, jeez. In the mid-afternoon of November 1st, All Saints Day, I sat at my computer to update my resume. I noticed a piece of paper on the floor, and so I bent over and picked it up. It was a card that one receives when they go to a viewing or a funeral. The name on the card was Mrs. Mary blank. I don't want to give out this person's whole name. And the date was November 18th, 1975. I felt that Aunt Mary, Tita in Lithuanian, stopped by to let me know that Alfred was safe and with her on the other side. See how close we are to those who pass away. Some theology professors believe that heaven is not up, as many people believe, but rather runs parallel to our own world. It has also been stated that at certain times of the year, like All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day, the veil is lifted between our world and the world of the good or rewarded dead. So, it says, tell me if you can explain this story. Well, I don't think we need to explain anything. I think he covered it, that he thinks
pretty
it
well.
Was his aunt kind of giving him a hint. And they do that. They drop little hints like that. So that was pretty cool. I haven't had any... Well, you know what? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had ever anything happen on, like, Halloween. Where, like, someone, a deceased one from the other side, yeah, come back.
Someone even went to a haunted castle and a haunted...
All right, well, okay, yeah. Staying in the Geraldine suite at Kennedy Castle on Halloween night, yeah. We had some pretty neat stuff, and it was pretty scary, but... you know, I mean, I haven't had it where a loved one from my family has come back and made their presence known, but oh well. So much for me being loved.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, this is John Zaffis, author of Shadows of the Dark. Welcome to another evening of Deadline, hosted by New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, it's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week you were asked, what is the name of the place with the half-naked, headless horsewoman and the ghost monk, etc.? And where is it located specifically? The answer, the Mission San Antonio de Padua, Mission Creek Road, Monterey County, California. That's the Mission San Antonio de Padua. Now, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of put on your research caps. For those of you who favor seafaring tales and are drawn to the water, this story may weaken your sea legs. The Ship of Death has been witnessed as an outdated sea craft with tattered sails, rotted decks, and a motley phantom crew. The ship and its crew are seen with this mysterious frost coating. When the Ship of Death is seen, witnesses claim to see the crew gathered around a pale corpse on a canvas sheet on deck. Once the crew moves away from the corpse, the identity is revealed and usually recognized by the viewer. Within hours, maybe days, the fetch of that person seen on the deck, that real person, dies. The two most known examples of this happened in the late 1800s and early 1900s. Leon Weber, a trapper, saw his fiancée on board the Ship of Death in 1862. She died mysteriously within 24 hours of this sighting. In 1887, Gene Wilson saw his wife on deck of the ship, and she died shortly thereafter. And in 1903, Victor Hybe, a river resident, had his best friend... He had his best friend die when he saw the Ship of Death that passed right by Victor's home. So warning you, do not seek the Ship of Death. You may see what you want in terms of the ship, but the fetch that appears to you means that person will die no matter your best efforts to avert it. Okay, so what state does the Ship of Death reside? If you can give the name of the water body it travels on, bonus kudos to you. Okay, so we need the state that people have seen the Ship of Death in. Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you will win the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. Again, you cannot have won a prize in the last 30 days, and then you will qualify.
And you can't be a core member.
And you can't be a core member or an NJGHS leader, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So that's a pretty cool story, huh?
Very cool.
Yeah.
It was almost a parachute.
You know, and they talk about the concept of the fetch. I mean, there's other things and folklore and tales of like what portends death, like the banshee in Ireland. I mean, if you hear her wailing outside your window, somebody within the family's going to die.
Grim Reaper knocking on your door.
Yes, yes. I mean, not so much knocking on your door, but there was even... there was some figure, I forget from which culture, that they do have like a skull kind of phantom figure on horseback with his scythe, and he kind of cuts down souls. And
don't know.
And if you see him, then you know somebody's about to die. And then just the very crisis apparitions that we as ghost hunters encounter. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, Uncle Ed showed up. My God.
Right.
Let him in. I went to make him a cup of tea. I came back. He was gone. The phone rang. It was my aunt. The phone rang. Listen to me. Phone rang, and it was my aunt saying that Uncle Ed passed away. And that's what we call it, a crisis apparition, but that's along the lines of a fetch nowadays, you know?
So. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. So please send us the name of where the Ship of Death resides, and if you even know the body of water, that's even better. All right, so don't forget to register for the Ghost World Conference at $115 a person. And if you're a member of the NJGHS and want the buddy rate of $85, it's good up until April 30th, 2007. You must email me directly for the private link so I can verify your membership. My email address is laurah@njghs.net. Oh, and if you get a chance, check out the MySpace page because I've put some updated things on there, and I've gotten more friends. Oh, you know, you like Weird Al, right?
Of course.
Well, he accepted one of my friend invitations, so I have the Weird Al on there. Woohoo!
Maybe the real Weird
Maybe, Al. Who knows? My friend Gina is friends with him, for real.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
cool.
And she's a caricature artist. She does really cool work. She's had shows in New York and everything, but yeah, he knows her, and yeah.
Wow.
Maybe someday I'll get to meet him, who knows? I think Jeff said he met him. Jeff Belanger met him one time, and he was in college and doing an interview with him. So, pretty
cool. Very
cool. Anyway, so stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our Yahoo group so you can get the latest and greatest info. And trying to think. Oh, we'll have Well, there's not much else. I was going to say we probably have to put that team together offline because we do have an investigation, an all-nighter coming up February 17th, but we're going to have to put that together offline. It's not something I can say, oh, you know, write in because,
right.
You know, I got to go through the database and see the logistics because it's down in Cape May. So I really want to go through the database and try to put together team members from that area as best I can so we're not, I mean, it's going to suck that I have to travel from Hackettstown, from one end of the state to the next, but, you know, I'm not going to miss the all-nighter in a haunted house in Cape May, sorry. Anyway, so thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song, The Dance of the Dead. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.